After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this on a Sunday night. And what do you know? Another game where you're going, what? The Kings allowed a big run to a team below 500? They lost to a team below 500 on their home floor? Yes, it happened again.
They played got a big loss.
Morgan's not locked in, but I am. Kings lose to the Rockets 112-104. They fall to 36-27, and it went bad when it went bad, especially in that third quarter. The Kings could not recover, tried to make a run late, but could not play perfect basketball. And here we are talking about another disappointing Kings lost. I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Each and every one of our podcasts presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. Hi, Mo. How are you, bud? How you doing, bud?
I was totally locked in. I gave you a lyric.
You stumbled over a lyric. I needed you to
I've
be
tight. I've been stumbling all day. I've been stumbling on the broadcast. I'm stumbling now.
Here we go.
Let a girl stumble.
Well, Morgan, let's talk about what went wrong for the Kings in this one.
Everything. Next.
Okay, you need to help me out because you're in a different stage I am. You sound there's like an anger stage when it comes to the Kings. I have reached apathy where I'm just losing interest a little bit in like, this team, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Because it's some of the same themes over and over and over again where some quarters it looks like they're locked in.
Yeah.
But then when it goes bad, it goes bad. Let's bring up the second quarter.
Bring it up.
Kings go up 13-54-41 with 2:56 to go in the second quarter, okay? First half, they are 54-41. 2:56 to go. Just close. Mm-hmm. Just close the right way. They did not close the right way.
No, they didn't.
And then at halftime, it's a game, right? You're going, okay, they made a nice little push here. We reach halftime at Golden 1 Center and a 54-41 game. My goodness, no, I'm not smooth. At the half, goes to 59-54. Mm-hmm. It's a 5-point game. But then it continued on. After the Kings took a 13-point lead, they were outscored 45-19 through the third quarter. The rest of the game outscored 71-50. They lose 112 to 104. It's frustrating. And when it goes bad, it goes really bad.
And that's truly like the story of this game is the third quarter going to shit. But it started going into the half. I think what was felt maybe going into the half that the Kings would come out on top and stronger and punch back and then never look back. Oh no, that's what the Rockets ended up doing instead. But going back to the end of that second quarter, I remember at the half, I'm talking about Domas Sabonis and triple-double watch. And another double-double for him in just the first half of basketball. Playing some pretty good basketball. I forget how many turnovers he had at that point. But it was really toward the end that everything really started going downhill for him in the way he was playing.
At the half, he had 14 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He did have 4 turnovers, 2 steals.
And I don't mean downhill all the way. I just meant in that category specifically when it came to his turnovers, which is a huge part of his game.
He had 9 turnovers in this game. 9 of the Kings' 13 turnovers tonight from Domantas Sabonis. He had 25 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 9 turnovers. The problem I have with the third quarter and just the theme of this year is when it goes bad, it goes too bad. You know, this team is not just allowing, hey, a 12-2 run. Oh, man, it happens. We're going to bounce back. To be outscored from the 2:56 mark of the second quarter to the end of the third, 45-19, that can't happen. That's leadership. That's adjustments. You got to get your shit together faster than that if you want to be like a legit team. I thought a couple of things that I didn't like in that quarter. Third quarter, the lead's evaporating, right? The Rockets have momentum. The Kings aren't functioning offensively well. Malik Monk doesn't come into the game until 6:15 of the third quarter. The lead's already gone. You can't give long leashes when it's going bad. It was going bad.
Yeah.
Let's get control of this game. But it seems like the Kings always try to regain control when it's too late. Fourth quarter, it really ended the third. They go into a zone. They start playing better defense. They start chipping away at the game. And in the fourth quarter, they did make it a game again. But it was too late. Like, they teased you a little bit. Oh, no, it's a 5-point game. Oh, could they pull off a miracle? No, because they needed to play perfect basketball. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't. They couldn't play perfect basketball. And now they walk away losing a game. We've got 19 games to go. We talked about all these home games. They've lost 2 home games to the Bulls and Rockets here.
Disgusting. I mean, honestly, like, disgusting when you look at that, and especially down the stretch. And what's so frustrating, too, is I do believe that with this team, the culture and how they take on each game and each day. Like, I believe that they want it as bad as people just watching, right? I mean, even more. I really do believe that. Where I think you can look around the league and sometimes say, like, he's doing it for money. He don't really give a shit, you know, whatever. I believe this team is locked in and wants it. The only issue is, it's not about coming into game days. It's about when they're in the game. And in the game, they're in-game adjustments with mentality, with, and when I say mentality, it has lots of different categories, subcategories off of it. That's like being locked in defensively, being able to take care of the basketball, shifting your confidence in a different direction, and going and either adjusting your game plan if they start breaking it down, like we saw with the Houston Rockets utilizing that dunker spot. I know we saw a lot about that. And just simplifying the game on the offensive end for themselves, while the Kings made life harder for themselves on that defensive end. So, yeah, all these things coming into a game, during a game, I don't understand how they can't, like, make those adjustments and shift
sooner.
That's what,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I'm with you. And the Rockets' defense in that third quarter was fantastic. They started to really throw multiple guys at Sabonis. In the first half, it was a lot of single coverage with Sabonis. And, you know, he was having his way. He had some turnovers that weren't really forced necessarily by the defense. I actually wrote down all of his turnovers. His first one, Van Vliet knocked out of his hand after an offensive rebound. Second one was just a bad outlet to Davion. Just threw it ahead of him, mm-hmm. Turnover. Then the two-man game, he and Monk. Monk threw a pass that he couldn't handle, turnover. Then his fourth one, he tried to force a lob over Şengün, who read it perfectly, tried to lob it high over to get to Keegan, turnover. Then he went to put the ball on the floor. Şengün read it perfectly, poked it away. He had then had a miscommunication with Ellis, who tried to flare up instead of going to the corner. Yes. Sabonis threw it away. Then he had a turnover, a weird bounce pass to Monk, who was like trying to pop up, but Van Vliet was all over him. Like, it was just a bad pass. Then he mishandles, crowded by multiple guys inside. His ninth was a travel. He's got to be more locked in, man. Like, and it's tough too, because in some respects you go with Fox today, who was not good, 7-21. If Fox and Sabonis aren't playing well, who's stepping up, right? Yeah. Fox and Sabonis, for the Sabonis has been pretty damn consistent this year. Fox has had his moments of being up and down, but for the most part, you know those guys are going to bring it. Who else is going to offensively? And that's the question. Monk has been pretty consistent, but after that, there's question marks. Maybe you'll get a Keegan game and he'll have a stretch of games where he's scoring 15 or more.
Sure.
Or HB, where he had that run where he's scoring 20 every night. Oh, Huerter's got it going. No, I mean, you can't count on anything else. It's Fox, Sabonis, Monk, and after that, and tonight, you had Fox and Sabonis. Fox was missing everything short. Sabonis was turning the ball over like crazy, and you lose.
It's just, and it's like you just said, it's okay for people to have inconsistent games, right? Like, whether it's Keegan, whether it's Huerter, whether it's Barnes, whether it's Mitchell, Ellis, go down the line, Trey Lyles. It's okay, but other people then have to be filling in their spot. There's enough names right there that I just mentioned where it's like other people have to step up in a bigger way when other people aren't playing the same, aren't having the same flow to their game, or just aren't producing and putting up big enough numbers.
Oh my goodness. De'Aaron today, 18 points. He had 9 rebounds, 1 assist on 7 of 21 shooting. He was 2 of 9 from 3. In the second half, he was just 1 of 9, 0 for 3 from beyond the arc.
I wanted to see him attack even more, and he seemed like either tired, like I don't know what it was out there for him, but they started the game pushing the hell out of the ball and the pace. They had 9 fast break points. They didn't see another fast break point until the fourth quarter. My point to this is because he's usually the one that leads the charge. And I think I saw someone early on in our chat say something like, you know, I don't even think De'Aaron played that bad. I think he just missed a lot of shots. Here's where he did play bad. Like, in these games especially, he is the leader. So Domas is having all these turnovers, and now you're seeing the Rockets go from single coverage to throwing how many guys on him. That's when you adjust and you make sure your game is at a different level. You don't just settle for 3. You just got to make sure that you are also making those adjustments as a leader. And I'm not putting all that blame on him, but I'm just analyzing what I saw from his game just on a random Sunday.
Watching him in the second half, I went back and watched his shot attempts again in the second half. Everything was short. Even the mid-range stuff, he was missing everything short. My sense was, like, the physicality bugged Sabonis, and it bugged Fox.
Yeah.
And look, this is what it is. Like, the Rockets play a style. They may not be a great team. They're in the process of trying to turn things around, but they were one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year. They're 7th this year coming into tonight. And they played with that physicality, right? They're bumping you. The officials are swallowing the whistle a little bit too, because they just set the tone with how they play. This is just their style. Udoka's got those guys just playing like dogs.
Kind of like
it. And it bugged them.
And I kind of like it. You know, I think there's some points when you have that happen with an officiating crew or an NBA team, and you reward them with that, right? Like, they're playing tough, and there's times where I even thought, oh my God, did they come across the arm on that when they were going for that jump ball and it was Jabari Smith Jr.? I was like, he for sure came across his arm. He didn't. He
made got a hell of a play.
Made a jump ball. You know, like, it was just a great defensive play, and they had a lot of those moments too where, again, the ref wasn't just going to make that call because they saw an arm come across somebody's body. Super aggressive, and it did mess with the Kings.
I know it may be easier said than done, but that's where I'm like, Fox, just go hard to the rim. Get to the foul line. Like, they're going to call some stuff around the basket. Fox shot 2 free throws. And I felt like his shots were either mid-range looks or from 3.
Yeah.
Everything else was short. Attack the rim. Get these guys in the penalty. You know, like, they play physical. Embrace the physicality. And I don't think the Kings do that on a consistent basis. I think sometimes they do. It's just like everything about this team is, yeah, sometimes they play defense and it looks pretty good. Sometimes the offense is flowing. It looks pretty good. But tonight, 6 of 32 from 3. 6 of 32 from downtown. And 4 of those makes, 2 from Monk, 2 from Mitchell. From Davion Mitchell. The other 2 were from De'Aaron Fox. Keegan 0 for 5 from 3. Herter 0 for 3. Barnes 0 for 1. The third quarter, going more into detail on that, they were outscored 32 to 14. And you're going, man, the defense. Yeah, partially. But again, this is when you don't execute offensively and you're throwing the ball away. They had 8 turnovers in the third. 8! So 8 wasted possessions on top of the missed shots. Huge. Turned into 11 points. They were 4 for 16 in the quarter. They were 0 for 6 from 3. The Rockets scored 46 points in the paint in the game. Mm-hmm. 20 of those points in the paint came in the third quarter. The third quarter was just a mess from offense to defense. Everything about it was bad.
I mean, you look at those turnovers too and you go, okay, there's also no fast break points from the Sacramento Kings. They were not pushing the pace. They were not pushing the ball. If anything, they were losing the ball in a half court set. I mean, some of those possessions that you talked about with Sabonis, you know, it was like pushing up in transition. But like for the most part, it felt like when they were in the half court and it felt like when the Houston Rockets were getting up in them, being physical, and just really disrupting their entire second half of basketball.
I think just big picture wise, you just look at where this team is with their consistency on offense. I know Mike Brown said post game, since the break, they're 3rd in offensive rating. 3rd in offensive rating since the break. They're near the bottom in defensive rating since the All-Star break. Today, you wouldn't have known that based on their offense. The first half had some great moments. Second half, they were completely shut down. And that it's just disappointing. It's just disappointing to see where the Kings are at right now with their consistency, especially when you have this opportunity with all these home games. But that's where they're at. They're a flawed team that needs some moves. We've been saying it since November.
I think one of the more disappointing things too is like you think about them being on their home floor and on this homestand, and they had those conversations the other day, not only like players only meetings leading into, you know, these other games, but then I mentioned this at the beginning, you had all the guys talking about how that win against the Spurs was unacceptable. Like it just in which we can celebrate a win's a win. That's great. Were they going to try to get a win in that same fashion? And if they were, I was still not going to feel great. Like I would stick to what I say, and a win is a win in the NBA and it's hard. Yay. They were resilient, found a way, but it's just like too much crap basketball. And then on top of all that, on top of crap basketball, they didn't find a way to fight back and be resilient and just take over. So, I believe they want to do what they say, but I think that's where I get mostly frustrated is like the timing of a loss like this on their home floor against the Houston Rockets.
36 and 27 now. We've made it this far, and we should mention this too. Alperen Şengün, hopefully he's okay. Oh. He went to contest a Sabonis bucket late in this game, the fourth quarter. Ends up on the ground. He's screaming about his ankle, but the reports right now are he's going to have an MRI on his ankle and knee.
Okay.
They ended up bringing a wheelchair out. He left the game in a wheelchair.
It was so sad. And he was just like holding his face. Oh, it made me want to cry. Dude.
And he's such a talented player. You saw it tonight. I mean, some of the things he does at his age, they're running through the offense through him now. He's improved defensively. He's just a skilled player. And you just hope it's nothing serious. It didn't look good though.
No. And especially when you're screaming in pain like that and the only way to lift you off is with the wheelchair. But it's like you said, just hopefully hopefully this situation isn't as bad as it looked. We will see. Either way, sucks to see. And to even talk a little bit about his game, I thought the Kings were doing a good job on him in the first quarter. And then after, and then the second half comes around and it's like, what did he do? He's a smart, good, young player. And he made in-game adjustments. He made adjustments. It's not even like he was dropping dimes left and right, but he had a lot of like hockey assists. He had a lot of the, like you said, they run the offense through him. So he was still creating a lot and then started doing a little bit more down low as well.
Yeah, he had 14 points, 7 of 14 shooting. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals for him. And so he's going to have an MRI. And yeah, hopefully he's okay. And for the Kings, the other thing that jumped out to me in the fourth quarter, it's 101-86, 7-11 to go. Kings are kind of hanging around, but it's like, God, the clock's a ticking here. Keegan comes into the game. I felt like Keegan had some really nice defensive moments. The Kings end up going on a 10-0 run to cut it from 101-86 to 101-96 with 3:20 to go. Well, it's a game. I didn't understand why they took Keegan out when it's 105-98. I'm like, this is still somewhat of a game, and he's making plays defensively. Like he and Sabonis at that stretch when they were starting to slow down the Rockets a little bit in the quarter, they were having some good contests at the rim.
Did he put Kevin Huerter in for him?
Keegan was getting some timely rebounds, and then they went away from him. So I'm not saying, oh, if Keegan's in there, they win the game. I'm just, those are the subtle things that happen in a game where you're like, I don't get it. Just like I didn't get in the third quarter why Brown waited so long to put Malik Monk in the game. You know, I understand there can be issues defensively with Malik Monk, but the offense was not getting anything going.
Stagnant.
How can you get him going a little bit? Get him in sooner. Get some juice. Get the ball moving around. Get the two-man game with he and Sabonis. It just felt like they didn't have a lot out there. And when Herter's not giving you anything, HB's not giving you much offensively, give me the guy that I know is going to try to give me something offensively, that's going to try to create, get to the basket. That one play where Monk took that contact from Şengün and threw it up and made the shot in the floor. I'm like, how the hell do you do that? But I thought they went to him too late.
Yeah, and that's fair to say. I feel like there's been a lot of overthinking going on when it comes to the adjustments or the rotations needing to be made. But at the same time, like, I'm not down there feeling the energy of one, like, what if he felt like Keegan was not tough enough for him for some reason and Trey Lyles was going to bring that toughness, you know, like that's what he trusted in that opportunity. Again, I don't know if that was something that was actually there going on. Either way, it didn't feel like it was the right answer, right? So, yeah, hopefully something, like, as this team continues to be in these situations, because it doesn't feel like they're going to be in large leads going to, it just doesn't. It really doesn't. Then if you are in these situations, like, you got to make sure you are also making the right moves as a coach, as a coaching staff, because that can really screw with mentalities, that can screw with the energy and the flow of a game. And sometimes it can be making the biggest change and a really good positive change. But yeah, I didn't feel it today.
So 19 games to go, Morgan. Do you have any, I don't know, faith or belief that they can get a nice extended streak going here? Or is this kind of what we're going to see?
Yeah, I think that question alone is like,
It's dumb. Is that what you're going to say? It's a dumb question. It's a dumb question.
No, because I don't think it's a dumb question, but I wouldn't bet my money on it. Like if this was like a bet right now,
right.
It's like, no, here you could bet $1 million. No, no thanks. Like I would not trust. And sometimes you see those turns from teams around the NBA where it's like, since the All-Star break, they've been doing this. Or in the month of March, you know, they really turn things around. The Kings have been consistently inconsistent the entire year. And what's just fascinating that in a Western conference like this, with their inconsistency, that they've still been able to stay around that sixth spot. You know, they're back in the seventh spot in the Western Conference standings as of right now, but to be close to that sixth spot, especially when Western Conference is packed and it's an up and down every day for everyone. But when I say every day for everyone, mostly for the Kings, it's literally up and down each and every game, where it feels like other people, if you look down the list, they'll have like up, 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 down, down, up, up, down, up, up, up. You know what I mean by that?
Yes. I mean, but those other teams have just been, I mean, behind them too. I mean, look at the Warriors, now Steph's down, you know, the Lakers, the Suns, the Mavs. I mean, that's the other thing. Like the Mavs made these moves. Like Mavs make these moves. Everyone's like talking about how much better they're going to be. And oh man, they'll just go right by Sacramento. They've struggled and they leverage a lot of their future. So, you know, this year just feels like it's like, all right, can you just get a series and hopefully you can be competitive? But I don't have any faith that they're going to be able to win a series. Like there's been nothing that we've seen this year with their play that makes you believe that, hey, win. The stakes get higher.
Yep.
When the physicality goes up,
yeah,
this team's going to thrive. And I know there's so much talk about, well, look at their record against Denver. I'm like, they didn't play the Nuggets the first three games, okay? They were shorthanded.
Sure.
They beat OKC once without a couple of times, right? Once without Fox, okay. Yeah. They lost OKC too. They beat Minnesota. This team has also had so many disappointing efforts where you're going, how do you have any faith that they can advance? The best case scenario, I think, for this group is they play a competitive first round series. Maybe they get a favorable matchup and do advance. I don't know. The best case to me is a competitive series. And then in the offseason, you go, okay, we sat tight last trade deadline. We sat pretty much pat this offseason, brought guys back, added Sasha, whatever. Then we didn't do anything at this trade deadline.
Yeah.
Got to be aggressive here. You got to be aggressive.
Because even if you were going to give me the excuse, like, you know, well, health really was something that was riding us this season. You know, like, let's say you're mentioning, like, Sasha Vezenkov or something. I'd be like, Sasha, either way, wasn't going to be the end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
Although, it felt like, at the beginning of the season, the way that he was being hyped up to be as a sharp shooter and what he could accomplish on the basketball floor, it really did feel like that. Now, seeing some of his opportunities before the second injury, you saw these flashes of his length alone, right? Of what he could provide there. And he was starting to understand the NBA pace a little bit more. And I liked what he maybe could have been with more minutes and more opportunities, but it's like, it is what it is. So now you have to figure out whatever path it is that you need to go, whether it's with him and other pieces around, do it. But there's got to be something different. Yeah.
And to your point with the injuries, they haven't had many injuries this year. They've had guys banged up. Every team's kind of banged up.
Lyle started injured.
Fox missed a couple of games, but we're not talking about guys missing. You know, Fox didn't miss 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Sabonis has been playing every game.
Yeah.
You know, guys have missed games here or there, but they've been relatively healthy again this year. And what I think frustrating about this season is Sabonis is playing out of his mind. Fox is having another good year. Monk is probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year. If you would have told me those three things before the season, that Sabonis was going to be even better than he was the year prior, Fox was still going to be playing at a high level, and Monk was Sixth Man of the Year, you'd be like, oh, shit. Like, this team is really good again. The problem is Herter has gone down dramatically.
Yeah.
Dramatically. Harrison Barnes, his play, he had some stretches, but not what he was.
Yep.
Sasha, like you said, non-factor. Keegan, offensively, I think this year, although he has shown like he's been more versatile with his game.
Yeah.
It's just not consistent enough. You know, he's not there yet. I still think he's going to be there. I see the chat like, Keegan's not a guy. Look, if we're going to start freaking out at a second year player who's been playing defense this year, I don't know what to tell you, but I just think all these things that were going well for Sacramento were like everyone, there's so many guys up. There's not as many guys up this year.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing those issues. You're seeing the same issues defensively. And this is where they're at. This is where we come on, you know, every other game or every couple of games and go, man, these losses are bad. It's not about losing. You're going to lose games in the NBA. But we all know that this year has felt completely different with some of these losses because you're losing to teams below 500 late in the year. You're losing big leads. You've had games where free throws have cost you. It's just repeated over and over again.
That's a great way to put it, too. You are going to lose games in the NBA. We know that. You're going to hate some of these losses. But it feels like for the Kings, it's been like 98% of the losses have been like...
disgusting.
Yeah, like dog shit.
45-19, they were... A 45-19 run in a game, you're not winning that game. Uh-uh. It's not happening.
And if you are winning, then you're going to say at the end, then you probably didn't deserve to win the game. And again, unless you were resilient and you still found ways and blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't matter. And I think too, just because, you know, shitting on all their losses this year being so bad, I think it's important to say what I'm pretty sure we all feel in some of these wins. It's not like San Antonio win, but in most of the, let's even say 70% of the wins this year, 60%. I don't even know what the percentage is. It feels like at times like, whoa, this team's got it. And if they can play like this now going from here on out, they can be a team in the West that's like, that could win a playoff series. Haven't we all felt that after some of these wins? And I don't feel like it's just a fandom thing. I really truly feel like when you eye test it and look at how they play in some of those wins, when their defense is locked in on one end of the floor, they're shooting. No one can stop De'Aaron Fox. They're shooting lights out with the basketball.
I push back on that number being that high. I think actually their wins this year, you felt like
40%.
How did you escape? Like you miss these free throws or you allow a bat. There have been games they've won where the runs have been crazy.
But that's why I said 60%.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's that high. I feel like that's why some of the wins this year have been tough for people. Think about being down big in Detroit. You know, people are turning that game off. Or even a couple of games ago, they got down 19 to the Lakers in the first. You're going, what the hell? It's just everything's extremes.
But even that win, it happened and then it was over with. You know what I mean? It was over with after the first.
I get it.
Where like when it starts to happen in the third and the fourth and then you have to rally back, that's when it's like, okay, well, this was ugly.
I don't want to do this again because I feel like we just did this. But like, I mean, I went over like a few losses ago how even some of their wins, you're like, that didn't feel great. Okay, I mean, remember when at Chicago, they're up 30 and it gets down to 3. Did that feel great to anybody? No, it did not, right? Like the Dallas game, they win by 5. They almost gagged that one away.
Barely remember.
The win at Memphis when Memphis had like 2 guys on the team.
Was that New Year's Eve?
No, that was later when they had nobody. Ja Morant was still playing in the union. That was one of their best games, New Year's Eve game.
See, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I remember the really good... You're right. There aren't as many of the really good games that I'm talking about. But maybe those are the feelings that I really just have held on to a lot this season. Being that belief is there. Like, it didn't feel like a fluke in those games. But then, I mean, you look at everything else, I guess... Maybe you got to believe what they're giving you.
I one of my big keys going into the season was, hey, the Kings have to be better at home this year. You know, last season, they had a lot of disappointing home losses that have still stuck with me. And last year, they finished at home. They finished 23-18. They were better on the road at 25-16. So 23 wins at home last year. This year, they're 17-12. They're 19-15 on the road. Again, for the second consecutive year, it's trending for them to be better on the road than home. I don't get it.
I mean, we've tried asking them about it. We've tried understanding it. There's nothing more that we could really say or break it down and analyze it unless you're going around the league and talking to professional basketball players league-wide, like, what could be the difference? And then you talk to the Sacramento Kings and then you get some of their answers as well. So do you want to go and do that? what would that be? A poll? A test?
A survey?
Survey. Thank you.
Yeah.
Words.
It's just gross.
It's pretty gross.
I do want to spend, we do this with losses sometimes too, where it's like we act like the Kings were playing in elementary school tonight. The Houston Rockets came into this game at 28-35. So they're outside of the play-in at this point. It's a team that plays their asses off, though. And that's one thing with Udoka. Like, they're not a good offensive team. They're near the bottom in field goal percentage, in three-point percentage, although they hit 41% from three tonight. Just, again, another team shoot well from three against Sacramento. But defensively, they go out there and they just fight. And they bump you. The Kings don't like that. They don't like it.
No.
And I wish they would embrace it a little more. But I, to me, you have to. Sometimes I just, with that type of mentality, I'm like, I don't feel like that could be taught. Like, you either like playing with physicality, you embrace it, or you don't.
That's a fair point. No, it can't be taught in all individuals, but like, if you can get it locked into enough players on your team, it can be taught as a team theme, culture, style, however you want to look at it, right? And I feel like the Kings last year understood what they needed to rely on. And last year it was relying on, wow, we're fast as shit. And relying on being that underdog team and being like, okay, well, we're going to out tough everybody. And it wasn't out tough people like mentally and like punk them back. We don't want to get punked. But there was just something different with the way that they carried themselves in some of those games where they understood the opportunity at hand could be their last. So you might as well leave it all out there. And that's what I want to feel again. And I think you get to a team like the Houston Rockets and you feel that at times. Like Dylan Brooks knows like that he could find his way out of this league really quickly because of what he relies on at times. But then there's other times that he picks it up in all different categories while still having that toughness, if you want to call it that. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, it's whatever.
It's so, I just feel frustrated because like I enjoy doing these podcasts so much, win or lose, but this one, this loss took me. Where the Bulls loss, I said it was the worst loss of the season for me. Mm-hmm. And it was heartbreaking. But this sucked my soul, my basketball soul. Like I had a dream about basketball, playing basketball the other day. And I got so excited. It made me so excited, like just being back on the floor and playing. And actually, Sean Elliott was in my dream. And I think because we had talked to him on Kings pregame live. And so he was in my dream playing. And no big deal. And so then I was like, oh man, I need to keep playing because basketball like fills my soul, like makes me so happy. And so I ordered a basketball on Amazon because I have a women's basketball, but I want to make sure that if I ever go to like a pickup game, I can play with men and like actually be making my shots and stuff. So I got a men's basketball. And my whole point to this is just like basketball gives me life. I love it so much. And this sucked my soul today.
I'm sorry.
Do you feel that though? I'm getting the vibe.
This game? No, it did not. Wow. I've seen this game a lot. So.
Ew.
I mean, at some point, I think it doesn't phase you as much because it's like, no, this is who they are. Like, I've been upset after podcasts this year. I have been, for sure. But I've seen teams go on big runs all the time, and they have not been able to stop the bleeding when a team goes on a run. When a team is physical with them, they don't like it. And I saw someone in the chat was saying, well, you know, the Kings were getting called for touch fouls, and they weren't calling the same things on the Rockets. Dude, because the Rockets, they set the tone with their physicality. They play like that all the time. And it's not like there was some crazy foul discrepancy. I mean, maybe your case is that they should have been called for more. Kings were called for 20 fouls. The Rockets were called for 18 today. I don't know. I didn't get that sense. I felt like they just played tough. They just played. That's what they do. And I thought in the second half specifically, the adjustment to just really throw different looks at Sabonis was fantastic. And then they rotated well. They communicate well. They bump you off your spots. They pack the paint. They've got length, right? Like Jabari Smith Jr. is a long player. They have active hands. Şengün is super long. They have great activity. Thompson is trending to be a really good defensive player, and he's a rookie. So when you have all this length out there, you have athleticism, they take up a lot of space, they embrace contact, it's going to make life more challenging. And I feel like that throws the Kings off. They become a little indecisive. They maybe overthink things. They don't play their game. You know, we always talk about spray threes with this group. I don't think they got many spray threes at all today. And they knocked down just 6 threes as a team. So, you know, you ask, oh, how are you feeling that? No, I'm disappointed because they lost. But the reality is, if Fox and Sabonis play like they did tonight, you're not beating anybody, because no one else on this team has proven this year, besides Monk, that they can bring it offensively on a consistent basis.
Consistent basis.
You know, yes. Like Keegan, I don't know if he's banged up. I feel like he's banged up. We talked about last game. He airballed a three. It was an amazing look. Airballed a three. But then he's battling his ass off defensively. At least he's giving me something out there.
For sure.
But this team needs more. You need guys that can knock down shots. You need guys that, if Fox and Sabonis are having an off night, you could still find a way to manufacture something. And for this season, the Kings haven't found that on a consistent basis.
That's a fair way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fair way to put it.
And they're still good. Like, I'm pretty excited about Keon Ellis. I want him to play more. That's another guy I'm going, I need his minutes up more. I think he makes things happen. I look at the fact that since he's been back in the rotation, he's been leading the team in deflections, leading the team in steals. He plays good defense. He's a guy that doesn't care about physicality. The guy's like 175 pounds, and he's getting posted up by Sohan and battling him. Like, I love what he brings. I would play him more. And that means other guys aren't going to play as much. And I also think you can sacrifice a little bit of maybe the offensive firepower. But I even think he can knock down an open shot. So is it really, are you sacrificing much when the guy is shooting, coming into tonight, 41% on catch and shoot threes? Another guy I'm loving right now, Davion Mitchell. Why is Davion Mitchell playing more lately since January? Because he's knocking down his shot.
Yeah.
No one's doubted what he can bring defensively. There's definitely some mismatches with the size advantage, but this guy is shooting 42% from corner threes on the season. His three-point shooting is up. He knocked down 2 of 5 today. I like that. I like the defense that Keegan plays. It's just, you're not getting enough from everyone else offensively. You never know what HB is going to give you. You never know what Herter is going to give you. Keegan has kind of been the same way this year offensively, right? So that's where you're at. You can trust three guys that are pretty much going to give you 20, close to 20 every night. Sabonis, Fox, and I put Monk in that category. But after that, it's a fat question mark. And so that's where you go, where are we at? That's why you're seventh. That's why you're seventh. Because you don't get enough offensive firepower outside Fox, Sabonis, and Monk, and your defense is beyond inconsistent. You're near the bottom.
Beyond.
So that's what it boils down to. And you have to be honest with it. This is the sample. This group has been together for a while now. This core group has been together for almost 2 seasons plus a playoff series.
You know, going back to a little bit to what you were saying about the Houston Rockets and being like, this isn't just some elementary team. Like, this is an NBA team, blah, 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 things. And it's so true. I think what's frustrating about it, though, is that when you see the Kings play the style that they were playing to start the game, locked in defensively, pushing the pace, swinging the ball around the offensive end.
Yeah.
Just like the rhythm, the flow, free flowing, looking good. It's like, you know that they could make this Houston Rockets team look like that, feel a certain way. In that, if the Houston Rockets were going to punch back, that you could still find a way to get to this point. But for some reason, for them never be able to get back to that point, and even in the Spurs game, it was like they could never get back to the style of basketball that they're playing against, like when they're taking on the Denver Nuggets or some of these better teams. It's like, are you playing down? Are you, and not to say that these teams are just like shit teams in the NBA, because there are some pieces on these squads that can dominate and do things, and winning the NBA is hard. But is that something? Like, is that something more to also look at mentally? Are you playing down as a team, and or are you not being led by a leader? Domas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, and or a coaching staff, right? Like, what? I just don't know the answer, and so I just have so many freaking questions.
Tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan Reagan. If you're looking for new windows, there's no better place to go than the experts over at Northwest Exteriors because they have been in the area for years. They don't subcontract out to Southern California. They do quality work. They're Kings fans.
They are.
And everybody who works there has been there for like 16 plus years.
Yeah. And no, they're so great. They're so easy to work with. And like, honestly, on nights like this, if you're down, I know so many people go like retail therapy. How about you just call and get a free quote for some windows? Like call that retail therapy and seriously check out what maybe your house is missing. And even if it's not something that you can do right now, you can also get a feel of like what it is that you might be able to do that you didn't even know or understand. I think sometimes the misconception of when you're trying to look to do a project like that, it's going to just be the most expensive thing in the world, but there's so many different options.
So check out their website, trustnorthwest.com, Morgan Reagan, because you know what?
They're simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Mm-mm. What a fun jingle.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Morgan, who would be your Rockets soul player of this game?
Definitely a Rockets player. Probably I'll go with Fred VanVleet. And not just because he led them in scoring.
Fred VanVleet. Ugh, you're a rock and soul player of the game. 22 points, 9 assists, 5 of 8 shooting. He was 10 of 10 at the free throw line. Knocked down a couple of threes, too. He was 2 of 4 from downtown. A player that, to be honest, is just not very efficient. You know, he has not been an efficient shooter from the field or 3-point range. But tonight, he was 5 of 8, 2 of 4 from 3, and made all of his free throws.
Efficient. That is the main reason why, I mean, not only you look at some of those numbers and just how efficient he was, I thought he did a good job of leading this team and keeping them in it. Those two deep threes that he had right before the half, like really starting the trend of, okay, we are going to punch them in the face and they're not going to come back. And that's kind of what happened with him leading the charge.
He also had that one off-balance look that was great defense in the fourth quarter. We're like, how'd you make that one? It just felt like a dagger. He's a rock and soul player of the game. There's many people in the chat right now. Michael says, sad, Deuce. Edward says, Deuce, you look so disappointed. I understand, me too. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to try to, yeah. To be completely honest, I have been, this podcast has felt like a total vent session tonight, and I think I'm also in my own head about the podcast, where I'm just like, I just feel like we're just bitching. It's just like, I don't want, this is like the same podcast we've done after every loss. Like, I need to bring, I don't know that my insights have been that incredible today, so. Morgan, sorry, I'm just being honest. You were honest at the start. You said you were wearing a blazer that was too big.
It made me look ugly. Yes, I did okay. say that. And it, but
I was just being honest and vulnerable too.
But here's my thing too, yeah. because we are going behind the scenes and no one's listening to this right now. Here's my thing to this though. Deuce, when you are doing 82 podcasts,
I know.
maybe plus in a season, and in all of these losses, we always break down every little detail of why they lost, why, what went wrong. Sometimes there's going to be a game like this that just takes you, that takes you to another place. And the other place isn't about breaking down exactly every single specific that happened out there on the floor. I mean, we can go over the plays of Şengün dropping it down to Thompson in that dunker spot like multiple times and the Kings not rotating over. Do you want us to break that down over and over and over again? Because we can.
They got shredded on that pick and roll coverage, and then the guy wasn't there to help. I want to actually look at Thompson for a second.
But really quick, as we look at this too, my point to all of that being the theme of this game in the identity of this game is what I personally feel like what we've been talking about. It's not about even being disappointed or sad. It's about like being disgusted.
Okay, I'm putting Thompson's shot chart on the screen right now. He was 5 of 8 in the paint. Look at, he had one shot outside of the paint tonight, Morgan, and it was a 3 that he made. Everything else, dunk, cut, dunk, dunk, dunk. Dunk, dunk, dunk,
dunk, dunk, 3. Dunk, dunk.
Oh my dunk, goodness.
3. Put me in that dunker spot and I'll make things happen. My name is Amen Thompson.
Yeah, it was bad.
My name's Amen Thompson and I'll make things happen.
You know, it's been a while since we took some calls. Should we take one right here?
Sure.
On our Discord, King KK. Hi, King KK. Are you actually in here to chat with us? King KK. Testing 1, 2, 3. Oh my goodness. It's my fault.
It's okay.
I shouldn't have done it. I just saw him there. I felt like I was going to do the right thing and reach out.
And it's okay. And everyone's feeling the same kind of way. Keegan Murray watch. I just wanted to stop by and say barf emoji sign. You know, like it's okay to feel extra frustrated and disappointed in a game, especially when we don't do this every single loss. And just get emotional and not break down the X's and O's. Like,
I thought we still did a little bit.
We did. Yeah. But this, I didn't even, there was a part of me that like didn't want to, because I was like, does that even matter in a game like this? And it does, because there's NBA people that listen to our podcast and not just Kings fans. But yeah, that was the identity of this game and what the Kings brought to the table.
What would be your Shreve Jewelers moment of the night?
Oh God.
I have a, you know, I rarely do this.
I have a negative one.
I'm definitely putting the third quarter on there, cause that's bad, right? Yeah,
identity of the game.
Okay. Is that the one you're going to go with moment?
No. Do you want to know?
Sure.
Because this to me,
you go negative. I've got the positive.
Cool. Mine. This to me was like the epitome of the game at this moment. And it was when, the alley-oop was thrown from De'Aaron to Malik Monk, and Malik Monk missed this alley-oop. Now, he gets another one, I think, later on from Davion, I believe it was. But there was one from De'Aaron to Monk, and Monk missed, like, gets stopped by the rim or something. And it was like, you see him make the craziest shots, but for some reason couldn't make this. And I was like, that's what today's game is.
So that with the third quarter, my moment was actually going to be the one you just referenced, Davion Mitchell throwing a lob from like the 3-point line opposite court. I'm going, no, what are you doing? And Monk dunks a reverse. I'm like, geez, that was disgusting.
It was fun.
That was a really, really nice moment, I thought. So we did player of the game. We did moment of the game. What's up next for the Sacramento Kings? Well, they do get a day off, and then they go back to back. The Milwaukee Bucks come to town. The Milwaukee Bucks come to town. They are coming off a win, and they've been playing some pretty good defense under Doc Rivers. They went from being a joke defensively to now being pretty respectable on that end of the ball. They are going to be in Sacramento on Tuesday, and it's part of the first night of a back-to-back. The next night, the Kings welcome in the LA Lakers. So you get the Bucks and Lakers back-to-back.
It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
You know what? At this point, we need to stop this. Yeah. Doesn't matter who they play?
No.
Doesn't matter who they play. They could take on the worst team in the West and have to escape with a win. They could take on a Rockets team that's better than that and just get destroyed in one quarter, and it changes everything. So they could play good teams, bad teams. Who knows? We don't know what team is showing up. This team, we've seen it. Trey Lyles said this yesterday at practice. You know, we have these conversations. We're the same team that can go handle the Lakers in Minnesota and then come home and lose to, you know, the Pistons. What?
Or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since the All-Star break, by the way. Yeah. The Milwaukee Bucks are playing better basketball. They're 7-2. They're 7th in defensive rating during that stretch, and they're 6th in offense. So Milwaukee's coming to town playing some good basketball.
And they just beat the Clippers today, I think you said.
The
and
shorthanded Clippers. No George, no Kawhi in that game. And right now, they're the number 2 seed, 6 games behind Milwaukee in the East.
Good for them. Really figuring it out and just in time to take on the Sacramento Kings as they try to battle in the Western Conference and win every game that they can. But for sure, for sure. Good for them. I know Damian Lillard and Giannis each had over 30 points today, earlier today, against the Clippers in that win. And so, you know, they were dominating, doing their thing, hitting outside shots, taking it in. But like you said, the defense alone, being able to lock in a little bit more. And you saw the Kings up against a top 10 defense today in the league and what that did for them. It wasn't pretty. If I had a suggestion,
yeah,
as someone that watches a lot of basketball, it would be run and never stop. I mean, truly, just go like you did in this first quarter of this game. And, oh, is that not sustainable? No, it's something that, like, you have worked so hard to be able to do. So keep running, keep going, and just don't allow them to catch up. That would be my easiest way of trying to break them down.
If you're wondering where the Kings stand since the All-Star break, they are 5-4. During that stretch, their offensive rating is 5th in the NBA. So they're top 5 offense, but their defense since the break is 26th. The teams worse than them defensively through that stretch. The Utah Jazz, the Washington Wizards, the LA Lakers, and the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay. Well, and the Washington Wizards, I saw they just officially knocked out of the playoffs today. Oh,
congratulations. Well, they won the other night to end their long skid.
Well, good job. And now they won't make the playoffs.
It's official.
With 19 or 20 games left, whatever they have.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back Tuesday night. Do this again.
Oh, we'll be back, and we'll be. I don't give two we're gonna games.
Have fun. Yeah, win or lose, we're gonna have fun.
Yes, but I needed this, so thank you also for everyone that did join us live today, and like just to kind of allow this to be venti, to be something different, because every single game, like I mostly feel good. I didn't feel good, but I'm going to feel freaking great, win or lose. In both those games. Let's effing go.
We love you guys so, so, so much. But we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today, we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.